This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, February 27th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. Illinois' Department of Revenue has removed Carle Foundation Hospital's property tax exemption for failing to provide enough charity care. Department spokesman Mike Clemens says the decision regarding the Urbana Hospital comes down to deciding whether it functions as a charitable organization or a business and determining the latter. Pervena Covenant Medical Center was stripped of its property tax exemption last year. The hospital's appeal is currently in the court system. In a written statement, Carle Foundation CEO James Leonard says these decisions put health care for the uninsured and underinsured in the community at great risk. He says Carle will vigorously appeal yesterday's decision. Clemens says that appeal would be done before an administrative law judge within the next 30 days. Today is primary election day for local races in Illinois. In Champaign County, the only primary race is in Champaign. 9 at-large city council candidates are on the ballot, and 6 will move ahead to compete for 3 seats in the general election in 7 weeks. The candidates include Karen Foster, Bill Glitharo, Michael Henley, Freddie Gordon, Annette Williams, and former county board member Patricia Avery. Incumbents Deb Finan, Tom Bruno, and Geraldo Rosales are also on the ballot. The polls are open until 7 tonight. The Illinois House is spending today on a single issue that has enraged some downstate consumers. The House is meeting as a committee of the whole to grill power company executives and hear stories about the jumps in electricity costs. Residents were warned for months that their electric rates would go up this year when a 10-year rate freeze expired. Lawmakers froze rates in 1997 to encourage competition that hasn't developed. Some House Democrats want a 3-year rate freeze. Some Senate Democrats have backed a phasing in of higher rates. State Representative George Scully is a Flossmoor Democrat who pushed for the special hearing. Scully estimates that the session will last several hours. Meanwhile, State Representative Chapin Rose says the special winter heating rate given to Ameren customers was taken away from them as fast as it was offered. The Mahomet Republican wants the Illinois Commerce Commission and Attorney General to look into the utility's advertising practices and rates that jump without warning on January 2nd.
They induced people to sign on to the service, and then it's classic bait and switch. They pull the rug out from underneath them without even really telling them that they're going to discontinue their price break for all electric. And, the tactics that were used, frankly, are unconscionable.
Rose takes Ameren to task for indicating that rates would go up by $1 a day. He says one customer in Champaign saw his bill go from about $230 to nearly $800 a month. Rose is backing legislation that would enable consumers to purchase power as a cooperative, just as some businesses and local governments like the Champaign and Urbana City Councils are considering. The bipartisan plan passed a House committee last week. Rose says it could come up for a vote in the next few days. Champaign County board members took a close look last night at a consultant's plans for erasing the operating deficit at the Champaign County Nursing Home. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports on last night's special study session.
Michael Scovato of Management Performance Associates says the nursing home can find new revenue by aggressively promoting services like dementia care and physical therapy. And he says the home should cut down on employee absenteeism and renegotiate rates with Medicare and some of its service providers. County Board Chairman Pius Weibel supports the findings and thinks Nursing Home Administrator Andrew Buffenbarger can act on his own to implement many of them.
I think we just have to give Mr. Buffenbarger the go-ahead and make many of these changes. Some of those changes will probably have to involve an actual vote by the county board, and in those cases we'll have to do that. Other cases, it's just a matter of go in that direction and do it. As long as he comes back to report to us what the results are, I think there should be no problem with the way it will be handled.
Scovato estimates his plan of savings and new revenue sources can change the nursing home's bottom line from a $1.2 million annual loss to a $600,000 surplus, although some or all of that surplus would pay for expanded nursing home services. His recommendations are now before the County Board's Justice Committee. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A judge has sentenced a former Champaign County Corrections Officer to probation for the improper tasing of a jail inmate in 2005. William Allen Myers was sentenced yesterday to 24 months probation after pleading guilty to two charges in connection with using a taser on inmate Ray Hassai. Myers had originally been accused of aggravated battery and obstruction of justice, both felonies. He pleaded guilty to simple battery, a misdemeanor, and felony disorderly conduct. Steve Ziegler of the Champaign County State's Attorney's Office says the disorderly conduct charge covers the same offense as the earlier charge of obstruction of justice.
What it really means is that he made a false report that Mr. Hassai had battered two other correctional officers, and of course those other officers said it didn't happen that way. And Sergeant Myers later admitted that, and the other count was for battery for using the taser device against Mr. Hassai without any lawful justification.
Under terms of the sentence handed down by Judge Harry Clem, Myers must also pay a fine and undergo mental health counseling. Illinois' Catholic leaders say they have a chance to rejuvenate the state's parochial education system. It includes everything from praying to marketing and more state aid. Bishops from all six of Illinois' dioceses met in Bloomington yesterday for a day-long summit on the subject. Statewide enrollment in Catholic schools has dropped to 170,000, down from about 215,000 a year ago. Francis Cardinal George, Archbishop of Chicago, says more donations from parishioners is a key goal, but he says the church will also try to work with lawmakers for a bill that would help Catholic schools. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Last week's rescue on Mount Hood reminds commentator Amy Guida of two other emergencies within the past few months and got her thinking about liability for those who rescue. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Oregon has had three high-profile rescues and attempted rescues in the past few months. In November, people from across the country hoped the best for James Kim, who eventually died of hypothermia in a creek after his walk to search for help for his wife and two daughters. They survived. In December, I, for one, pored over up-to-the-hour websites for word about three climbers lost on Mount Hood. Eventually, we learned that the three perished. Two were never found. Avalanches and crevasses, one newspaper explained, can swallow a climber and leave no trace. And just last week, we heard that those climbers who'd fallen down an icy ledge on Mount Hood would live to tell their tale of survival, thanks to the warmth of a dog and an electronic locator device that helped searchers find them. All three episodes bring up multiple questions of responsibility. But consider especially the ultimate responsibility of those who try to help, the rescuers. Here's what I mean. In November, rescuers began a search for the Kim family in a spot quite north of where they were found. In December, the rescue team searching for the three Mount Hood climbers had to call off the search repeatedly when storms became too severe. Even in the rescue just a few days ago, searchers reached the site early but waited for better visibility to attempt the rescue. Maybe if those in charge had made different decisions, there would have been different outcomes. But who are we to second-guess the experts, those who understand the nuances of search and rescue because they know it so well? That's the attitude that judges generally take toward the question of government search and rescue liability. When those in need have died, on a mountain or in the sea, and their loved ones have sued, the courts have generally sided with those who tried but failed to rescue them. Courts most often refuse to second-guess the reasonableness of rescuer decisions. There are four factors to consider in any rescue attempt, experts have explained to judges. Safety, human resources, economic resources, and government interference with individual freedom. Those who rescue, courts agree, are the ones best suited to decide how any or all of those factors play out in any given scenario. It's only when a government actor does something truly questionable, like a Coast Guard officer who paid little attention both to a Mayday signal and to reported cries for help from the water, that a court will allow a jury to decide whether a rescue response or seeming non-response was reasonable. So even when rescue teams incorrectly guess at location, when they suspend or even end a search, there's generally no liability for those search and rescue teams who risk their own lives to go after others. In fact, the courts sometimes applaud them, even when the rescues aren't successful. Meantime, all within the past few days, the Kim family held a memorial service for James. Mount Hood climber Brian Hall's family also held a memorial service. And Oregon lawmakers began debate on a new bill there that would require electronic locators above a certain altitude. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, expect intervals of clouds and sunshine today, the high 38. Tonight, mostly cloudy, the low 25 degrees. And for tomorrow, cloudy and breezy, showers arriving during the afternoon. The high 44 degrees, winds from the east to southeast at 15 to 25 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, February 27th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.